This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala abdillahi wa rasulih. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. So apologies to the people who are following the class on the live stream today. Instead of having a nice camera feed and a nice audio feed, we messed something up. So we had to go to backup plan and just put a laptop in front of me with a simple webcam because we are struggling today. We couldn't manage to get it working the way that it should be. We're missing some equipment. So no problem, inshallah ta'ala. We'll just make the best of what we have. Rather have some class than have no class at all.
Inshallah.
Okay. So we were talking about Surah An-Nazi'at, and we really kind of stopped around the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Before that, there's a point that I missed out. I wanted to talk about towards the sort of beginning of the surah. يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةً قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Okay, the question is this: why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the benefit in the word innama here? It is only a single cry, a single shout. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجَرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Why is it only a single shout? What is that only in contrast to? What did we learn from that word only? So they said, are we going to be taken back to Al-Hafira? Al-Hafira, we said, is Al-Halatul Ula, the first situation, how we used to be before. Are we going to go back to how we used to be before? أَيْذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرًا. When we are bones that are hollow, that the wind is blowing through the holes in our bones are all crumbled and decayed. Are we going to go back from being crumbled bones? Are we going to go back from being hollow bones that the wind, the wind is going in one side and out the other? Are we going to be in that state and then go back to being people who are alive again? Tilka idan karratun khasira. This is, we're going to lose out a lot if that's the case. This is for al-istib'ad. Yani they're saying, how can it be possible that we are just a crumbled lump of a few crumbs in the ground? And then suddenly, it's not like our bones are all laid out, like, you know, you see a skeleton in a museum and the bones are all laid out and the fingers and the toes. No, your bones are all just crumbled. They are, you know, the wind is blowing in between the crumbled bones. Then Allah said, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجَرَةٌ وَاحِدٌ. It is nothing but a single, it is only a single shout. Do you have any ideas on Telegram? The translation here for Sahih International doesn't really capture it. It says, indeed it will be but one shout. A little sort of. The English doesn't quite get the point. Or convey it. Do we have anyone on Telegram tomorrow?
It's not so high.
Okay, getting there slowly. Allah being so high, not being so high, but Allah is high, but being
so easy,
so easy. Yeah, these people are saying it's so difficult that we are crumbled bones, the wind is blowing over us. We are, we are not even just a few crumbled bones in the ground. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say then I will put your bones in the right place, and then I will command the angels to come and bring this, and then I will. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجَرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. It is a single shout. That's it. Everyone is back up again. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُ. Then the horn will be blown again, and they are going to stand up and look around. So this إِنَّمَا هِيَ is to show how easy it is. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. It's not hard for Allah. How easy it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect mankind, even though these people made it that it's extremely difficult. Okay, we came to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal regarding Fir'aun, ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَ. Adabar, it means to turn your back. You know, like dubur is your back, right? The end of something or the back of something. Adabar, he turned his back. Yes'a, we said a sa'i is al-amalu bijid or something close to that. It means working hard, like striving, doing, you know, working hard. And what was Fir'aun striving for? Tayyib, I want you to think about this. This needs a bit of thought. Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Fir'aun was striving fil ma'asiyah, in sin and disobedience. Generally, Fir'aun is striving to disobey Allah, striving to, you know, take away what Musa brought, striving to misguide people away from the path of Allah. Why did Ibn Jarir make it general like that? Why do you think Ibn Jarir, Imam Mufassir, Imam al-Mufassirin, why did he make it general like that? He didn't limit it to any particular kind of sa'i, like any particular sin or any particular thing. Just he turned around and started doing all kinds of sins. From every direction. Okay, we can say that Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, said this because the word is general. Right? Like Allah didn't say, ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى فِي تَكْذِيبِ مُوسَى. Allah didn't mention what went, what happened or what he did. Just ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى. Ibn Kathir here, he takes a different view. Ibn Kathir, he says, ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. He rushed and he made his efforts and he strived to bring the people together and to misguide them. Generally, in our tafsir classes, we've been saying to everybody that when the wording is general, we keep it general. Allah said, ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى, so we keep it general. However, here I think Ibn Kathir, rahimullah ta'ala, in this point, Ibn Kathir, I think he's correct in this. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling you what it is that Fir'aun went and did. What did Fir'aun go and strive to do? It's as though it's being asked, ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى سَعَى فِي مَاذَى. What did he go out and do? What did he strive to do? What did he try all of his efforts in? فَحَشَرَ. And if a jama'a, he gathered all the people, fanada, and he called out to them. So here it seems, and Allah knows best, that the stronger opinion here is that the sa'i of Fir'aun here, what is meant by it is jama'a nas, gathering all the people together. Thumma adabar, he turned his back on Musa, yes'a, and he tried everything he could. What did he try to do? He tried, fahashara fanada, the fa here. Because the fa here is immediately afterwards. ثُمَّ أَدَبَرَ يَسْعَى فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. He turned away, he made his efforts, he strived, and that includes the striving of the shaitan in al-batil, right? We said shaitan is not lazy. Shaitan is a lot of things, but lazy is not one of them. He strived very, very hard in making people, in misguiding people away from the path of Allah. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. Okay. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. حَشَرَ, it means, الْحَشَر is الجمع, right? You bring in everybody, bringing people together. From the story of Fir'aun that you know in the Quran, when are the cases you know that Fir'aun brought everyone together? Can you think of, I can think of at least two in the Quran where Fir'aun brings everybody of his people together. So the first one is the magicians. That's the one that comes to mind. فَجَمَعْ كَيْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَتَى. He made his plan, and that's what Ibn Kathir, he said, سَعَى. He سَعَى, what did he strive for? His plan. كَيْدَهُ. سَعَى فِي كَيْدِهِ. He strived to make his plot and his plan. What was his plan? Here, the plan that is mentioned is, the one that comes to mind first of all, is gathering all of the magicians together. Tuni bi kulli sahirin alim, bring me every knowledgeable magician, and gathering the people together for the maw'id, the appointment that was made with Musa. When else did Fir'aun gather all the people, all of his people together? Okay, this one we mentioned, Jama' al-Sahara, bringing the magicians together. When else did Fir'aun bring all of his people together? When he was chasing Bani Israel. He gathered his junud, his army, and he brought all of his people, and he said, هَؤُلَاءِ شِرْمِرَةٌ قَلِيلٌ. These people are they're just a small group of people. فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ. فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ. فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ. Fir'aun and his army, they followed him. They followed Musa and his people. So is the Hashar here, which is mentioned in Surah An-Nazi'at, is it when he gathered the magicians, or is it when he gathered the army, or is it another completely different time? Here the scholars of Tafsir differed. I think we can fairly safely say it wasn't when he gathered his army to chase Bani Israel, because here this is mutaakhir, right? It's something that happened right at the very, very end of the story of Fir'aun, the very end of the story of Musa and Fir'aun, not the end of the story of Musa, but the end of the story of Musa and Fir'aun. At the very end of that story, Fir'aun gathers together his army and he chases Bani Israel and he's drowned, as is well known from the story. Okay, if it's not that one, is it the gathering of the magicians? The scholars of Tafsir differed. Some of them said the gathering here is just for him to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I'm your Lord the Most High. In other words, he gathered all the people. فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى فَقَالَ. And the dalil they gave is the fa' here. That one after the other. He turned away from Musa immediately. Once Musa had given him the message and offered to guide him to Allah and to teach him about Allah, when Fir'aun immediately, he turned his back, he made his effort, he gathered the people and he said to them all one after the other, he gathered the people, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord the Most High. This seems to be what is apparent. But it's also possible that these things happen in close succession. And some of the scholars said he gathered the people to say to them, I am your Lord the Most High. And he announced that I'm your Lord the Most High. And immediately after that, Musa challenged him to the meeting between them and between the magicians. And he gathered the magicians after that. So it's possible that Fir'aun gathered the people three times. Once in order to proclaim to them, فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَ فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, to say that I'm your Lord the Most High. The second, to gather the magicians. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ تُونِي بِكُلِّ سَاحِرٍ عَلِيمٍ. And the third, to chase Musa and Bani Israel. And Allah knows best. Some of them said it is the gathering of the magicians, and Allah knows best. Okay, here. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَالَى. We mentioned there is an athar from some of the early generations, some of the Salaf rahimahullah ta'ala, with regard to this statement, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَالَى, that it came 40 years after he said, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرٍ. I don't know that you people have any ilah other than me. This 40 years is from the Israeliyat, and Allah knows best. It's what appears to be. So it's not from, there's no Islamic evidence that there was 40 years between those times, but it's mentioned from the stories of the children of Israel that between Fir'aun saying, you have no God other than me, and between Fir'aun saying, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَالَى, was 40 years. And Allah knows best. In any case, there are a few things to talk about with the statement that Allah tells us that Fir'aun said, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. We know for certain that Fir'aun, he claimed الألوهية والربوبية. He claimed to be a God, and he claimed to be a Rabb, a Lord. Some of the scholars of Tafsir, they said that the word Rabb here, it just means al-Malik. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, it means أَنَا مَلِكُكُمْ الْأَعْظَمْ, I'm your king, I'm your main king. This is not correct. First of all, the wording here in Surah An-Nazi'at doesn't support it. Yes, one of the meanings of the word Rabb is al-Malik, and that's no, you know, there is no issue with that. However, the ayah that we mentioned in which Fir'aun claimed to be worthy of worship, this is an evidence that is not meant here. By أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَى is that he was claiming الرُّبُوبِي. He was that I am your Lord. You don't have any Lord other than me. And you don't have any object of worship other than me. There's another question. Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun, the mala' of Fir'aun, they said to Fir'aun, are you going to leave Musa and his people to cause corruption on the earth? وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ, and they're going to leave you and your gods. Does anyone know how do we reconcile between these two ayat? Fir'aun said, you don't have any ilah except me. And the people said to Fir'aun, are you going to leave Musa and his people to cause corruption on the earth and leave you and your aliha, you and your gods? How do we reconcile between those two things?
Is it that they didn't worship many gods, but Fir'aun made a haram upon them that he was the only ilah for them?
So, is it that they worshipped many gods, but Fir'aun limited them and said, no, you're not allowed to worship anyone except him? Okay. Okay, so they saw that Fir'aun was the final one, the one at the top. Okay. What's well known, or what's most commonly mentioned, is that those gods were gods of Fir'aun. وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ أَنْتَ, يعني you, O Fir'aun, your gods. However, Fir'aun prohibited his people from worshipping other than him. So you're right, that's what the general idea is, that there were many gods that were worshipped, but Fir'aun prohibited his people from worshipping anyone other than him. As for Fir'aun himself, perhaps he also worshipped others besides Allah. Or at some point, that's possible that he worshipped others. Besides Allah, and that's the zahir of the ayah, that he was worshipping other gods besides Allah, but he prohibited his people from worshipping anyone other than him. Okay. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Allah seized him a seizing of Nakal. Here it's like to make an example of him. Allah made an example of him. نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. With regard to al-akhirah wal-ula, al-akhirah is the last and al-ula is the first, right? What is the akhirah and what is the ula? The most, you know, probably first thing that you find in the books of tafsir is that al-akhirah is al-akhirah, yani dar al-akhirah. That Allah gave him, made an example of his punishment in the akhirah, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him in the akhirah, make an example of him and punish him in the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an example of him and punished him in the dunya. What's the punishment in the akhirah? That it is that on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter Ali Fir'aun, Ashad al-Adab, the more severe of punishments. What's Nakal al-Ula, the punishment that he was made an example of in the dunya is that he was drowned. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ وَبَدِنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَة. We're going to save you and we're going to save بِبَدِنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَة. We're going to save you with your body intact so you can be a sign for those people who come afterwards. This is one opinion. That نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى is the punishment that Fir'aun was made an example of in the dunya, and he was made an example of in, or he will be made an example of in the akhirah. However, another completely different way of looking at it is that al-akhirah and al-ula refer to the transgressions of Fir'aun. That al-akhirah is the last thing that Fir'aun did to transgress, and al-ula is the first thing that he did to transgress. Some of them said, based on that narration from the Israeliyat, فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. Al-akhirah is his statement, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. And al-ula is his statement, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرِ. I don't know that you have any God worthy of worship except me. So some of them took it that Fir'aun, when he started telling the people to worship him, this is al-ula, and when he told the people that he is their Lord, this is al-akhirah. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. So Allah seized him for what he did at the beginning and what he did at the end. And they had other opinions as well. Some of them, they said, the first thing he did, al-ula, is takdeebu Musa, that he denied Musa. And al-akhirah is his statement, ana rabbukum al-a'la, I am your Lord the Most High. So they took different things, but they said the same general idea, that al-akhirah is the last thing that Fir'aun did, or the major thing, that the last major thing Fir'aun did, and the al-ula is the first one, or something along those lines. And there's no reason why you can't take both of those, because both of them are true. I mean, Allah seized Fir'aun for what he did in the beginning and what he did in the end. And he punished him for everything he did from the beginning until the end. He punished Fir'aun for everything he did from the beginning until the end. But likewise, Allah punished him and made an example of him in the dunya, and made an example of him and will make an example of him in the akhirah. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. Indeed, in this, there is a ibra. And ibra is a lesson, right? فَاعْتَبِرُوا. Take a lesson from it. There is a lesson for the people who have khashya. We said khashya already. We said al-khashya is al-khawf ma'al-ilm. It's fear along with knowing what you fear. It's fear and knowing what you're scared of, like knowing why you're scared of it. So al-khashya is fear along with knowing why you are scared, what you're scared of. The ibrah here, was the ibrah what happened to Fir'aun, or was the ibrah the whole everything that Allah told us in the surah. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they took the ibrah as the everything from the whole story of Hal Ataka Hadith Musa. Has the story of what happened with Musa come to you? إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. In all of the story of Musa and Fir'aun, there is a lesson for the people of Khashya, the people who fear Allah based upon knowledge. Others said the ibrah, it refers to the immediate, what is before. Meaning what happened to Fir'aun in the dunya and the akhirah, or how Fir'aun was punished for the first thing he did all the way until the last thing that he did, Fir'aun was punished. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا. Are you أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا, a more difficult creation or a more complex creation, or the heavens, بَنَاهَا, Allah built them, Allah constructed them. The question I have here, just to keep everybody thinking, what's the connection between this ayah and the ayah that came before? The ayat regarding Fir'aun and the destruction of Fir'aun, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبَرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ بَنَاهَا. Are you now?
Human being can transgress that way. How can you be so high and you are so weak that Allah has created the...
Okay, good. I see what you mean. So a human being is so weak. He's not shadid al khalq. He's not like that Allah has not created him. He's not the most complex and the most powerful of the things that Allah has created, but he still transgressed to that extent. Good. Does anyone else have any of that idea?
So, we're thinking about maybe you translated the ayah called Yaksha first, and then for the people that, you know, and then now he's linking to Sama or Banaha. So, he's obviously the ayah before, Jen has before the second ayah came. This is for the, can't remember the way you translated it, Yaksha or something.
The people who fear Allah with knowledge, right?
With knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from this knowledge is they realize that the human being is not the most powerful of the creation that Allah has made. Okay. What did you have?
Quran said, I don't know, but above them is, you know, the heavens, which are bigger creation. So then how could we say, like,
how could Fir'aun say that Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I'm your Lord the Most High, when the heavens were above him and the one who made the heavens is above the heavens? Mm-hmm. Very good. Do we have any on Telegram? Okay. We let them type and we've been a while. So what is mentioned here is that the surah, what did we say the topic of the surah is? Okay. So the comparison of the creation of the humans to the creation of the heaven, that it's easy for them to be resurrected. Very good, that's quite close. What is meant here is that this is now going back to addressing Munkirul Ba'th, those people who reject the resurrection, and going back to those people, because they were addressed in the beginning, right? We said the whole surah is addressed towards the people who reject the resurrection. يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةً قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذًا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةً فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجَرَةٌ وَاحِدٌ. Excellent. Salam. This story, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى, is still a part of what's being addressed to those to the Prophet ﷺ and in the context of those people who reject the resurrection. So now coming back to those people who reject the resurrection. And everything you said was correct. I mean, Fir'aun and the destruction of Fir'aun. But now coming back, the topic has come back to the people who reject al-Ba'ath. They reject the resurrection. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا. Are you people more difficult in creation, or more or stronger into, or more complex in creation? أَمِ السَّمَا, or the heavens? بَنَاهَا. So how Allah raised the heavens? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the vastness of the heavens which are above us is also an evidence for the resurrection and the existence of and the ease of the resurrection, the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rafa'a samkaha fasawaha. Samk is something which is raised up here. But along with the word rafa'a, the word rafa'a and then the word samk together, then samk is saqf, the ceiling. Rafa'a samkaha fasawaha. Rafa'a samkaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised up the ceiling of the heavens. This is the evidence, by the way, that the heavens has an upper, it has a ceiling to it, like an upper part or an upper barrier to it. And it's not just a, you know, ever expanding gas. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rafa'a samkaha, Allah raised up its ceiling. Fasawaha. Fasawaha, it can mean to proportion it, and he made it proportional. But also, fasawaha, some of the scholars, they said, it doesn't have any of the features of the earth. You know, fasawaha, he made it like on one level. He didn't make it, for example, that it has valleys and it has mountains and it has, it's one flat sort of featureless. That's maybe the word I was looking for. It's not flat, but featureless. فَسَوَّاهَا, he made it without any, without those features that exist on the earth, like the valleys and the mountains and the terrain. Some of them said, فَسَوَّاهَا, he proportioned it. He made it mutasawiya, and he made it proportional. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا. أَغْطَشَ, it means أَظْلَمَ. He made its night dark. وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا, and he brought out its duha. The duha, remember, is a period in the morning. It starts from when the sun rises, the height of a spear, and it continues until just before zawal, when the sun is in the middle of the sky. And it has three portions to it: the beginning, the middle, and the end. This time we've already spoken about it in Surah Al-Duha quite extensively. وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا. So some of them, they said the word duha here is just Allah is expressing the day through one of its parts. I think Allah is speaking about the day through mentioning one part of the day. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا, made the night dark. وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا, and he brought out the daytime. Here, duha, يعني أخرج النهار, he brought out the daytime. But the word duha is used to express something through one part of it. Instead of mentioning the whole day, just mentioning a part of the day. Others, they said, because al-duha is the time with the most barakah in it. And others, because of the contrast of a duha with a layl, the fact that a duha is the first time the sun shines through and breaks through the darkness of the night. So Allah caused the night to be dark and then brought the brightness that comes with duha. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ. The earth, after that, dahaha. We're gonna start with the word adahu and what it means, and then we're going to come back to this ba'da dhalik, because this is a very common question about what was created first, the heavens or the earth, or the earth then the heavens then the earth again, and what does the Quran say about the different stages of the creation of the heavens and the earth. But let's first of all look at adahu. Ibn Jarir, he said, he went back to the original meaning of the word dahaha, and he said dahaha, it is al-bast and al-mad, I think he said. It means to spread something out and extend it. So he said here that it means to spread something out and extend it. Others, they said, the meaning of dahaha is akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha. Dahaha means to extract the water and the pasture out of the earth. So if it means to extract, what does that mean? What does that mean? So this, if it means, if the meaning of dahaha is what is in the next ayah, akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha. The word adahu in the original word of Arabic, that's understood. It means al-bast and al-mad. It means to extend something and spread it out. However, some of them, they took the meaning that the meaning of dahaha here is akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha. That the meaning of dahaha is that Allah took out the water and the vegetation from the earth. Okay, akhraja, what does that then tell us? That it was already in the earth before. So now we come to this really, really interesting. Sometimes we glance over things, we recite over them, we don't think about it. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. This happened to the earth after the creation of the heavens. Can anyone give me an ayah which tells us that the earth was created before the heavens? This here is clear, right? وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. The earth afterwards, dahaha. Either Allah spread it out or He brought out the vegetation and the rivers. There are lots of different places in the Quran which indicate, but we just give one. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ماذا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات. This ayah is clear that the earth was created first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. Allah created for everything that was for you on the earth. Then He rose above the heavens, and the correct belief here is that istiwa here is istiwa on haqiqi. It's not, it's a real istiwa here, even in this ayah, which not all of the scholars agreed upon. Ibn Kathir, he said it isn't here. But Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned ijma' on this, that there is ijma' of Ahl al-Sunnah that the istiwa here in Surah Al-Baqarah is istiwa on haqiqi. It's a real istiwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above the heavens and He made them into seven heavens. And He made them into seven heavens. This would indicate that the earth was made first and then the heavens were made after that. طيب, did anyone bring the ayah that I was looking for yet? Abdurrahman on Telegram, won't bring the ayah? Okay. What I'm thinking is Surah Fussilat. And this ayah is very, 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 very common. That people ask about this. Okay. the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمٍ. Do you disbelieve in the one who created the earth in 2 days? وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you make equals for him, this is the Lord of the worlds. Okay, follow me on this. The first thing Allah mentioned, ayah number 9 in Surah Fussilat. أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ. Do you disbelieve in the one who created the earth in 2 days? وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِنْ فَوْقِهَا وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِينَ. Allah put mountains on the earth and He blessed it and He determined the rizq of all of the creatures on the earth in 4 days. In 4 days. Okay, still on the earth now. In 4 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ. Then He came to the heavens while it was smoke. So now the heavens is still smoke. The heavens hasn't been yet created. And in the next ayah, فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed the heavens to be 7 heavens in 2 days. وَأَوْحَى فِي كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا. And Allah decreed everything that would happen in each heaven. وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَحِفْظًا. And Allah decorated the lowest heaven with stars and protected it from the shayateen. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. That is the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Aziz, Al-Alim. Okay, were you counting the days? How many days did you get to? 8. Okay, how many days did Allah create the heavens and the earth in? 6. In Surah Sajda, what's that? What's the dalil? More than one place in the Quran. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He created the heavens and the earth. And what is between them? The heavens and the earth. وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. And what is between them? فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. In 6 days. Let's go back. Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah created the earth and then He created the heavens. In Surah Fussilat, Allah created the earth in 2 days, decreed everything that would be on the earth in 4 days, and then created the heavens in 2 days, and that makes 6 days, not 8 days, because we know from Surah Sajda and elsewhere that Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Let's take it slowly. Let's start with Surah Fussilat, because Surah Fussilat is the one that is more complicated. How did we end up with 8? We didn't end up with 8. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from this is the tafsir of, if I'm not mistaken, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the 4 days mentioned for the creation of the things on the earth includes the 2 days in which the earth was created in the beginning. In other words, there's an overlap. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ, who created the earth in 2 days, this creation of the earth in 2 days overlaps with everything that Allah put on the earth, which came to 4 days. Until now we haven't gone to 6 days, we've gone to 4 days. 4 days for the creation of the earth and everything that's in it. And then 2 days for the creation of the heavens. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need these 6 days. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. But Allah decreed for a wisdom that is with Him that this would take place over 6 days. The opinion of whether it's 6 days or whether a day is 24 hours or whether the day is longer than that, some of the scholars narrated that a day is just a period of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it in. And Allah knows best. It doesn't matter, because Allah can create it in 6 days and 6 seconds, 6 minutes, and less than that, or more than that, for whatever He wants. But some of them said 6 days. The meaning of days here is not a day that we know, but rather just a period of time. But the zahir of the ayah is what? The zahir of the ayah is that it's a day that we know. That's what's apparent from the ayah, right? That's what comes to mind when you hear the ayah. Fi sittati ayyam. What comes to mind is 6 days that we know of. Otherwise, if the days are not the days that we know of, then and it's not what it's not what comes to mind when you hear the ayat of the Quran. In any case, the earth was created, then the heavens was created, but in Surah An-Nazi'at, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا. Allah spread the earth out after He created the heavens. There is one opinion, but we're going to skip. It's not really very, it's not a very strong opinion. Is that the word ba'd means qabl. And they brought some evidence for that. Or the word ba'd means ma'a. So there is an opinion that huruf al-jar, the prepositions in Arabic can be swapped out. And each one can mean the opinion, mean the meaning of the other. And they brought some, some ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for example, min ba'di dhikr, when Allah mentioned the zabur, and He said that the zabur came after the dhikr. Some of them said the dhikr is the Quran and the word ba'd in the ayah means qabl. And some of them said the dhikr is the Torah and the word ba'd means ba'd. And that's the stronger opinion. We're not going to worry too much about that. We're going to say the word ba'd means ba'd. So now, how do we understand that Allah created the earth and created the heavens, and then for after that, with regard to the earth, dahaha, Allah spread it out, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out from it its waters and rivers? From the best of the things that said about this, and the strongest of the things that said, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning when He created the earth, He created the earth with what they say, biquwa, meaning the ability to have those things was in the earth. The potential for those rivers, the potential for those plants and vegetation. It was there in the earth, but it was not brought out. And this is what Surah An-Nazi'at says. أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth in 2 days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it with the potential for all of those things. Like they say, the potential for life. All of those things, the potential was there, the ability of it was there, it was created with that ability. However, it had not become بالفعل. It hadn't actually those springs hadn't gushed forth, the trees hadn't grown, the abilities were there, but it hadn't been, Allah hadn't brought it out. And so many of them said the meaning of dahaha here is akhraja minha ma'aha wa mar'aha, and after Allah created the heavens, He commanded for the springs to actually flow out of the earth, to go from being a potential to a reality, to go from being whether it is seeds or whatever, or the ability for plants to grow, to those plants actually growing. And that happened after the creation of the heavens. And if you look at Surah Fussilat, that's what Surah Fussilat appears to say as well. That there is a creation of the earth, and after the creation of the earth, there is a further stage of development of the earth, which involves those creatures that will live on the earth and their rizq and so on, and Allah knows best. Yeah, it's already there. That's why the word with regard to the ayn, the springs on the earth, was akhraja. Like He brought out what was already there. So Allah didn't say, for example, in Surah An-Nazi'at, خلق فيها ماءها ومرعاها. Allah created its water and its vegetation. Allah said أخرج. He took out what He already created before He created the heavens. And Allah knows best. In reality, this is something that a lot of people, the reason I spent a bit of time on it is people really get a little bit worried about it and confused about it. It really isn't a problem. And there are different opinions. The opinion I've given is not the only opinion in this. There are other opinions. In reality, there is no issue here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. The total period of time that Allah created the heavens and the earth in was 6 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about 2 days of the earth and also speaks to us elsewhere about 4 days of the earth and 2 days of the heavens. When you put that all together, you get 6 days. There is no issue. But there is something which to look into a little bit more to understand the process in which Allah describes to us where the earth was created with the potential for those rivers and springs to come. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brought them out, Jalla fi ula. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا And the mountains, He set them firmly. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا The mountains, He set them firmly. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ As a provision for you and for your livestock. The provision for you and your livestock are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended the earth and spread it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the water of the earth. Allah took out the vegetation of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the mountains upon the earth. Mata'an lakum. All of it as a provision for you. And we said the word mata', it gives a temporary nature, as a temporary provision for you. Wali'an'amikum. And for your grazing livestock. Okay. I think that's a reasonable place for us to stop, because the last part I want to do it in a separate lesson, all the way from فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى to the end of the surah. So I think we covered the main things that we wanted to cover here, inshallah. Okay, let's see if we had any questions. Also, if you're joining the live stream late and you're wondering why it looks like a webcam, that's because it's a webcam. Because we had some issues with the camera equipment today, so we had to go to the backup plan, which was just a regular laptop with a regular webcam, and we had to make it work. Alhamdulillah, it worked out okay. So let's see if we had any question from the class first. Yes,
Habib. When you mentioned the two ayat about creating the earth and then the heavens, for example, like from the buffer. And then the other one, which I don't remember, is from the wording of the book that he made in 2 days from like small door where you put it.
ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان. Yeah. Then he rose above the heavens when it was smoke.
So both of these, like, would tend to indicate, just based on like what you were saying, I guess, and I'm not trying to tafsir or anything, but like to ask whether it's the case that like there's like something pre-existing. Like when I say pre-existing, I mean pre-existing before it was separated out into like these different things.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Allah kind of uses the word ja'ala rather than. Like that, he made it into seven levels rather than khalaqa, for example, or something like that. And similarly, there's it's saying something of the nature that, like, okay, Allah istawa ala samaa', and then did something to it. So, what was there like? Was there something then pre existing, like the samaa' in a different state prior to that, or what was the situation?
I think the best answer we can give is from Surah Al Anbiya. In which Allah Azza wa Jalla said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَ رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا Have those who disbelieve not seen that the heavens and the earth were a joined entity? Then we separated them. And فَتَقْنَاهُمَا يعني it means by force. They were forcefully separated. So it's interesting because we haven't yet, I don't know if we've got enough of, we've covered enough of the ayah to give the whole story of the creation of the heavens and the earth, but definitely what it appears is that they were a joint entity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separated them, then from Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth with the potential of growth on it, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that point the heavens were smoke, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them into seven heavens and made for them a ceiling, which is the upper limit of the heavens, and placed the stars within the heavens. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out from the earth its water and its vegetation. That's what it seems to be. But the difficulty is that because this is spoken about in many ayat of the Quran in many different places, you probably have to gather them all together. It's a really nice research topic. If you have some time, like you find yourself a couple of hours and you just go and get together the ayat, even if you bring them in English, you know, Arabic would be better, but just to bring together the different ayat that talk about the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then to see, bearing in mind there can be overlap, like in Surah Fussilat, where there's an overlap, but because it doesn't mention, the word mentioned here is not with regard to the earth, is not thumma. It's not that Allah created the earth in 2 days, then for 4 days Allah decreed the provision of the people on it, and then for 2 days Allah created the heavens. Rather, what is mentioned that came after is the heavens, and the earth came first, and then came the heavens. And Allah knows best. But it's interesting then to look then at the creation of man, and of course the earth was inhabited prior to the creation of man. We know that because of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. We're going to place a khalifa on the earth, and a khalifa comes from khalafa, and it comes afterwards, and some a successor on the earth, someone to inherit the earth after the people who are already on it, from among the jinn or among the angels. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that created Adam and so on. So there's a lot of ayat to look into to build the entire story. If I'm not mistaken, Ibn Kathir talks about this. I don't think Ibn Qayyim, I believe Ibn Kathir, he talks about it with its order. And maybe also I read it from Ibn Qayyim as well. So it's worth looking into if you get some time. And if we get some time, we try, inshallah, to look into it. How do you reconcile with what we said? I don't recall anything specific. Like when I say that, I mean I don't recall like that I can quote you that such and such a scholar said this or such and such. I don't recall what the, you know, there's a very good book. I tell you the best book that I know of. I will get you exactly the title because I always get the title slightly wrong. It's the book of Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti. And it's called Defu Iham al-Ittirab an Ayat al-Kitab, responding to the mistaken impression that there is some kind of conflict in the ayat of the Quran. It's a very good book. If I'm not mistaken, I thought it'd been partially at least translated into English by Muhammad Al-Amin Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, in which he takes the ayat in which people find confusing or they find it difficult to bring the ayat together and reconcile them, and then each one of them he answers what is the because it's wahm, right? It's not real. It's not. There's no real confusion there, but just people become themselves. They get themselves mixed up. So he explains that. But I don't see there to be anything particularly confusing here, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the creation of the earth happening in 2 days. So in the beginning of that process, at the beginning, the heavens and the earth are one. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates the earth in that, within that 2 days, how He wills and whichever way He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I don't see that to be like problematic, but it's worth going back to the book, Dafa'u Iham al-Ittirab, this book by Sheikh Muhammad Amin Shanqiti, which talks about the ayat which people find, they get the wrong impression that there is something that doesn't line up in the ayat, but he answers each one. So it's worth going back to it. But to me it doesn't seem to be particularly problematic with what is mentioned. The one that people usually bring to be problematic is the ayat in Surah Fussilat. Because when you add it together, if you add it as each one taking place in a linear fashion, it adds up to 8 days instead of 6 days. But as soon as you look at the fact that Thumma is only mentioned for one of them, then you realize that there is an overlap and between two of the ayat. One of the ayat is talking about the total and one of it is talking about different perspectives or different phases. And there's an overlap between two of the phases. And that's what Ibn Abbas said, basically. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Okay. Yes, Habib.
As they say there, the heavens, what did they refer to? Is it the planets or is there a different shape of?
So it's really interesting is that what is referred to as the lowest heaven? And the best sort of indication we have of what the lowest heaven is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. We certainly decorated the lowest heaven with stars. As we know, based on what we know, and we don't know very much about the heavens, but whatever Allah has given us of knowledge of the heavens, the stars are all within our, what we would call our universe, right? So it would appear that universe that we see, the visible universe, is the lowest heaven. And that it doesn't encompass all seven of the heavens. Does that make sense? That the universe we can see when you look up in the night sky, what you can see and what you see through your telescope and what you see with the planets and so on, all of that is the lowest heaven. And above that, there are six more heavens above that. That's what it seems. Because Allah said that the stars are in the lowest heaven. And so from what we know, and we don't know for sure because we don't have a really strong knowledge about the way that the universe is constructed, right? It's not like we can go to the edge of the universe and have a look, you know, like people have a look in telescopes that don't show not even real pictures, right? It's like an image of something that happened a very long time ago and the light reaches you. So we don't have a really clear knowledge about it. But from what we can see from the ayat of the Quran, what we can see, what I will just call the visible universe, like what we can see with our eyes, is all of it is the lowest heaven, and Allah knows best. And above that, there is a gate, and you can't pass from the lowest heaven to the next heaven, illa bi sultan, except with sultan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it appears to me. Because that brings back to the ayah in Surah Al-Rahman, and whether that means that you can't travel into space or not.
What they're referring exactly in the physics, is it the heaven the same as the planets or?
What it seems to me is that everything we see in this universe, in the sky, all of it is in a sama' dunya. All of it is the lowest heaven. And Allah knows best. Because the ayah, لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. You will not be able to cross the barrier of the heavens except with sultan. And the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, when the soul is taken up to the lowest heaven, it reaches the lowest heaven. But the disbelieving soul is not allowed to pass beyond the lowest heaven. It's not allowed to pass into the second heaven and the third heaven and the fourth heaven and so on. So that's what it seems to me, that the lowest heaven is the visible universe and Allah knows best.
And it says like, we'll be protected from the jinn, the lowest heaven will be protected from the jinn. So believing in the jinn, or they have their own heavens?
No, no, the jinn are present on the earth. Yeah, and some of them can fly, like the Prophet ﷺ divided them into three categories, and some of them can fly through the heavens. But when they fly through the heavens, they try to catch sound of what the angels are discussing, and then the stars are thrown upon them. وَحِفْظًا كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ مَارِدٍ لَا يَسَّمَّعُونَ إِلَى الْمَلَعِ الْأَعْلَى وَيُقْذَفُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ جَانِبٍ دُحُورًا. So the ayah in Surah Safat, the beginning of Surah Safat, that they, and also in Surah Al-Jinn, that they used to steal the knowledge from the heavens, and when they descend through the lowest heaven, they are struck by the stars, and sometimes the star strikes them, and sometimes it misses them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, inshallah. Do we have anything else before we wrap up? Okay, that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for us to mention this evening, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wa salatu wa salam على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
وإياكم. نفع الله بك
وبكم.